you on the record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and the studios of WMOT-FM. How do you win at the game of college? Or did you know college was a game? It is a game, but the rules of engagement are hidden in the mist for a lot of people. They think they know what it is, or how to survive it, how to get out in 4 years with a degree, or study something, or either intimidate or fool a professor. I've got news for you. They've seen everything. Don't try it. How to Win at the Game of College, Practical Advice from a College Professor, was written by Dr. Ryan Otter, who is an assistant professor of biology here, but we're not going to talk about biology. We are going to talk about this book and about the lectures, one of which transpired in January, and one which will happen in February, and one which will happen in March, at which he hopes to not make any money, but rather just to invite people to explore his ideas about how to get their act together in the college environment. And there he is right there, Ryan Otter.
Thanks. Hello, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. I cannot personally relate to the young college student who does not know what he or she wants to be. Ever since I was 15 years old, I knew I wanted to be in journalism. I wanted to be a sportscaster, but I knew that there was no way in society as it was structured at that time a woman was going to be allowed to be the next Kurt Gowdy or Joe Garagiola. So I shifted into political journalism. I knew I could write. I knew I wanted to write. My father said, why don't you be a doctor or a lawyer, then make a lot of money? I said, no,
this
is what I want to do. I cannot relate to the person who goes into the freshman year of college and says, I don't know what I want to major in. I feel for them, but I don't get it. Help me get it, because you have heard them complain to you about it or come to you for advice or you know, you dried their tears or whatever. What do you tell these people?
Well, I'm not sure it's really that they don't get it. I think it's more of...
No, I don't get it.
Right.
I don't get them. That's my problem.
I think a lot of it is based on the expectation that college is when that's supposed to happen. It's when you go to college, you're supposed to figure out who you are, how to navigate the world, and how to set yourself up for the rest of your life. That is what college is designed to do. Unfortunately, that is not what college is designed to do. And so the expectations that students have coming in is different from what it actually is. And that's where it causes the problem. What typically happens, what I see, is students coming out of high school, going to college, those types of questions are really not what high school is designed for right now in our education system. I don't think that it's right or wrong. It is what it is. And so when students come out of high school, basically what they're told is go to college. That's where you're supposed to figure that out. And the expectation is college is going to give them that. If I go to college, I will figure out who I am somehow. And I'm not exactly sure where the expectation is coming from, but I will figure it out once I get there. And that's an unrealistic expectation. And that causes the root, I think, of almost all the problem.
Are students who would be better off going to a vocational technical school or a two-year community college pushed into going the four-year higher education route when it really would not be the best fit for them?
Well, I think it's more of a society issue where it's valued so much higher to have a college degree, a four-year college degree. What I usually advise students on is figure out who they actually are. The idea that a piece of paper that says it took you 4, 5, 6 years to graduate an institution, if you don't figure out who you are within that time frame, that piece of paper really isn't as valuable as people think it is. For people that vocational training would be best for, then vocational training is exactly where they should go. For more of the liberal arts four-year education idea, then for people that need that kind of training, they should go there. I'm definitely not a professor that thinks that everybody should go to college. I think people should get trained in what best prepares them for what they want to do professionally. And a four-year college, it's not the place that does everything. It's not the place where all training should take place. But those are some serious issues that have to be addressed, I think, probably at an earlier age than they are now. A lot of students, at least in my experience, never go through that process, even when they're in college.
That was one of my next questions, is shouldn't they be trying to figure out who they are while they're in high school? Isn't adolescence the time at which you're supposed to be asking that penultimate question, who am I?
Well, what it comes down to, I think, more than anything else, is how do you do that? You know, how do you figure out what it is you want to do? And so what it comes down to is, what is the goal of high school in 2011? And high school's goals are different based on society, based on culture over time. Our education system at the high school level has changed. Before, a high school diploma meant something different than it does now. A college degree means something than it did 30 years ago. And again, I don't think it's right or wrong. It just, right now, it is what it is. That expectation, what that value is on that degree, both high school diploma and college degree, is different than 30 years ago. And I think we need to reevaluate it in 2011 and not just expect that what happened 20, 30 years ago is exactly what should be happening right now.
You've said that people need some alone time to
Absolutely.
Try to sit down and figure out who they are and what they want. But in high school, if you don't have a cell phone, if you don't have an iPod, if you don't have a this, if you don't have a that, if you are not constantly surrounded with all of these external stimuli, then you are somehow a Luddite, and they'd have to look up the word Luddite on the internet, and they'd probably find it on Wikipedia, I'm sure.
There's an app for that, I'm
There's
sure.
an app for that. So how do you get today's 21st century pre-college students to turn off the external stimuli and listen to the still small voice within?
My honest answer?
Yeah.
I don't know. And to be very honest, I've never really focused on that aspect, and this is why. As a college professor, I have very little experience in how students interact. I understand how students interact within high schools, but I'm not there. I'm not in the trenches at that level. The students that I interact with are the college freshmen and the college sophomores quite a bit, and I get my information about how high school was, which is actually extremely similar to the way when I went through it, which wasn't that long ago. Mm-hmm. And I remember what that's like. And the goals of that place are just different. And to be able to have that alone time, I've known a couple high school students that have done it, but they're weird.
Yes.
And as I know you've heard me say this many times before, is I encourage students to be weird. Because the normal way of going through, as you mentioned, is, you know, the Facebook, text message, constantly connected. Everything I say and think is constantly being put out to the world.
I spilled my latte on my dress today. Oh, what
How
will I do?
How fast can I post it?
Why in the bloody hell would you think anyone would care? But they post it anyway.
Well, it makes sense. It's. I think it's a validation thing. It's very common. And when everything is put public, people spend very little time alone. And especially in high school, this is a time when people are figuring out who they are. And I understand that.
Yeah.
And that's always been that way. Maybe happening a little later now than typical.
But you get some of those freshmen and sophomores in college who didn't bother to take the time in high school to try to figure it out. Now they're trying to figure out college and themselves at the same time.
Well, what you just described is why I call college a game. High school's a game. I'm a sports, you know, I was an athlete. I still am an athlete. Will be my whole life. I kind of view everything as a game. It's just kind of the way my mind works.
And in high school, they try to play their teachers.
Well, yeah, so did I, because it's human nature. You're going to try to navigate, you're going to try to do what's ever easiest to get what you want. I think mm-hmm. that's human nature.
Right.
And in high school, there's a certain way to play the high school game. What I see, what's usually setting up the most amount of confusion is when students come into college, they try to play the college game following high school rules. And when they get into college and the rules are different, but they don't think they are,
mm-hmm.
they get not only confused but frustrated because all the games, all the tricks and the way they used to work in the other game doesn't work in the college game. It's not like the tricks are bad. It's actually very intelligent if you think about it.
Right.
You know, the high school student is a very intelligent person trying to figure out how to best navigate their surroundings. And so you figure out how to work that the best way, and it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And those students that have done that very well get the good enough grades, and they go to college usually, especially in the U.S. But now you go to college, and they say, wow, I've been good at this. I know how this works. I've done it for years and years and years. I'm going to do the same things I just did. And then in my experience, within their first semester or first year, it's kind of like a slap in the face of, I was doing what I thought was right, but I'm not getting the same results.
And you also find out you're not the smartest kid in the class, and it takes you a while to figure out that it's okay you're not the smartest kid in the class. There are, you know, X thousand other people who are, you know, they were the valedictorians of their classes too.
Well, I can tell you from personal experience, I was not a valedictorian, but I was told, like a lot of other people, wow, you're really, really smart. You can do anything you want. You're great. And I never really believed it, but, you know, you kind of say thanks, and a lot of people are told that, and I never really pushed or motivated myself to see what I was actually made of till I got to college. And so that, I think it plays in a big factor of the expectations people have of themselves. But then when they get to college, and the rules change, and they weren't told what the new rules are, man, that leads to frustration. So a lot of what I'm trying to work with students on is literally explaining the new rules of the college game. And a lot of people think, well, it should be high school, but harder. It's not. There's no other way to put it. It is a completely different entity with few things that are similar. But that's it. And I think they should be viewed as completely separate entities. And when students understand that that's what's going on, what they should do is, okay, what are the new rules of this game? Who are the key players within this game? Because in high school, they figured that out, and they worked it for years and years. Now, during the transition to college, it's like starting over from scratch. And that's how I advise students really recognize it. Those things that are similar, well, you have an advantage a little bit because you have experience. But you have to realize that it's not the same. And once that realization comes that, wow, maybe I don't know exactly how this place is, what usually the good students will do is go, okay, I need to learn from scratch what it is.
It's like,
and that's where I come in.
It's like going from college football to pro football, thinking you've scored a touchdown in pro football, but you only had 1 foot in bounds, which is perfectly legal in college. And you go to the ref, wait a minute, I had 1 foot in bounds. I should be able to score a touchdown.
You know, it's funny. I've been debating this a long time to try to find a parallel that especially parents would understand.
If that one doesn't work, just throw it out and say it's BS.
The best one I've ever come up with is life before kids and after kids for me. You know, I have two young children, and I always loved kids. I was always around them. I could be around other people's kids all I wanted, and I thought I knew what it was going to be like. You know, I could understand what it's like to be a dad. Yeah, not even close. It took me becoming a father to realize what it's like to have kids. I really thought I knew it based on, you know, talking to people about it, just like high school students talk to college friends. It's like, how's college?
Right.
And it's like, oh, I have these little pieces of information.
That's because parenthood is a unique experience for every individual, and so is college.
I think that's a great parallel. I think that's absolutely a great parallel in why that example works so well. I couldn't agree more. It is a unique experience, and I don't know anybody that went through it the same way. But all I do know is those that don't know the rules of a game can never play a game well. I always ask my students that I work with, this is my kind of scenario I set up. I say, I want you to walk outside of my office, because that's usually where these conversations take place, and I want you to recruit some of your friends, and I want you to play and win a game of cricket. Now, I don't know about you, but I have no idea how to play cricket. And most people in the U.S. have no idea how to play cricket.
You could look it up on the internet, and still, when you actually go to get the...
I've actually read the rules. I still don't know how to play.
Yeah.
If you don't know the rules, you might be able to like learn on the fly. Even if you're an athlete, you're still going to struggle. You need to know the basic rules and have a strategy on how to win, or there's no chance. The athlete in me has approached college and almost everything I do in my professional life the same way. What are the rules of the game? Who are the key players? And what's the strategy to win? And I think college should be approached the same way. And the key thing to remember is the high school rules, the high school strategy, and the high school people that were there before, it's not the same game anymore.
Okay, you're a freshman in college. You're in the dorm. After you get over the homesickness factor and crying and going back home to
the
mommy.
The life stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that. What fills the emotional gap for you in the absence of your old friends, your old peer group, is a new peer group, which can be a good thing, It can be a bad thing.
Absolutely can.
How do you listen to the still small voice within yourself when you're still looking for validation from the people in your immediate orbit? And they're not necessarily the best influences.
Well, I think that's where my advice of keeping a private life comes in. I think people really need to spend time with themselves to figure out who they are. And I'm not saying be a hermit. I mean, I'm certainly not one of those. I'm always around people quite a bit, but I always try to find time, and always have. Even during college I did this. I would find time to be by myself. And those thoughts and ideas that I had, you know, I try to keep some of that stuff personal so I can actually be what I call be real with myself. Because we all know that when you try to change your conversation so someone else can understand it, you know, you have to tweak your language. You have to think about it a different way, explain it in a different way than it's running around in your head.
You're a slightly different Ryan Otter with one person than you are with a different person.
Well, you have to. It's like explaining, right. For me, it's explaining science. If you're not a scientist, mm-hmm. I must explain science to you in a different way. Mm-hmm. It'll take fossils, just as an example. If you have a science background, then we can talk about fossils in a different way
right.
than if you have no education in science. Same with journalism. Same with any profession. So it's not an intentional change. Well, it is, actually. It's a change so you can actually have a worthwhile conversation.
It's not a morally reprehensible change. You're not
right.
being a prostitute.
You're not changing yourself.
Right.
You are modifying so you can have a conversation. What I advise students to do, I advise actually everybody I work with of any age on this sort of stuff, is you need to have some time where the thoughts that are rolling through your head are just that. You don't need to change and make sure everybody else understands it. If it makes clear sense in your head, that's all that matters. Because in the end, how I like to think about it is I'm the only person I sleep with at night. Mm-hmm. I mean, my wife may be next to me, but she's not in my head. I'm the only person there, and I have to be able to be okay with understanding those thoughts that are rolling through there without having to explain it to somebody. And what I find is when people do this, that's those real feelings that I'm trying to get to. Like, what do you actually enjoy? You know, I'm in science. You know, to tell someone you like to play with spiders, people go, oh, it's gross. You know, that's amazing. Why would you do that? And the answer, and I'm not a spider guy, just using an example, is, I don't know, I find them interesting. I'm not really sure why. That's the stuff I like, because it's real. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why, but in my head it makes sense. That's the good stuff.
I'm interested in forensic science. I want to perform autopsies. I want to cut open dead bodies.
Well, that's an interesting point you bring up, though. As long as the information you're getting on what that profession is legitimate, because what you just brought up is simple.
Well, I'm not talking about CSI. I'm talking about our own Dr. Hugh Berryman on campus.
Then in that case, I agree 1,000%.
Okay.
But the idea is if the information you get about what forensics is from CSI, Hollywood's not real life, and that's another piece of confusion that hurts students a lot. Here's an interesting kind of piece that I've kind of come together with this last couple months of working with students. I'll ask you, what do you think the three most common professions that students come into college thinking they want to be?
Teacher?
Yes.
Engineer, computer science.
I would say the first one is right, doctor and lawyer for the second and the third.
Which hasn't changed all that much since Art Linkletter asked it of all the 5-year-olds on television all those decades ago.
And tell me why.
Because they're stereotypical media-driven answers.
Well, they all make money, and they have prestige, and...
Teachers don't make money.
Right. There's a third one to this. Experience. Right, people make decisions based on experiences they have. So if you really think about it, mm-hmm. what are the majority of TV shows that have always been made?
Doctors, lawyers, and cops.
Right. Now, where do people pick the teacher side of it? Aside from being at home, where do you spend almost the entire part of your day from age, well, as early as 3 or 4 for a good... sometimes 25 years of life.
In school. But
right.
as you point out in your lectures, school is different from college.
Absolutely.
Teachers are different from professors. Let's talk about teachers being different from professors.
Sure.
Because I think a lot of people are accustomed to having their K-12 instructors, teachers, mm-hmm. hold their hands and walk them through the material that they don't understand, maybe give them a little extra help, maybe even give them a little extra credit, maybe grade on a curve.
Yes.
All kinds of fail-safes, safety nets, mm-hmm. to make sure that they don't fall through the cracks. You can debate whether or not this is appropriate or whether it constitutes social promotion, and I'm not here to trash K-12 teachers. My father was one.
Mm-hmm.
But the kind of motherly or fatherly or Dutch uncle type assistance that many K-12 teachers, dedicated people that they are, will give you in that venue, you will not get from a college professor. And people think that the college professor is going to be a kindly old soul who's going to put his arm around the kid and try to help them the way his coach or his high school teacher did. And nothing could be further from the truth.
In my experience, not in my courses when I teach or in my experience in college, my experience is the same. Now, the high school teacher, I think part of their mission is to be able to explain information in multiple ways, help people learn how to learn in different ways. During the early parts of education, I think that's very vital, to be able to teach to different students in different ways, those techniques on how to teach. And then there's also mandates put on K-12 teachers to make sure that students don't fall through the cracks. And to be able to do that, different techniques had to be utilized for different students. And I couldn't agree with you more. At the college professor, and I say this very bluntly, and I think it's the truth, is a college professor is not a teacher, and a teacher is not a college professor. And one is not better than the other. One is not higher up than the other. It is literally two different professions. And you're right. A teacher is there to teach material and to make sure that students can understand the concept ideas that are being taught. And they might need to do that four or five different ways. In college, the goal, in a college classroom, a professor's goal is not to do that.
A college professor doesn't care whether you're an auditory learner,
right.
A mixed learner,
right.
Or what other kind of learner you may happen
They're
to be.
They're there to guide students through information. And again, we can talk about being right or wrong or should it be different. And that's not something that in my work I'm trying to get into.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to help students navigate the systems that exist in the real world.
We're talking about managing expectations here.
Well, I think it's managing expectations and then recognizing that the world around us is the way it is. And what is the best way to navigate the system that is actually present? I think it's very easy to all of us can, and I do, and I'm guilty of as anybody, to say, wow, this should be different, and this should be different. And what I'm really trying to do in my work now is say, okay, let's just describe what it actually is in the real world, and let's see how I can help people navigate through what's actually there. Now, in the back end, I would love some things to change, just like everybody else. But I guess I'm kind of past that point now and saying, okay, this is the world I live in, and these are the worlds that the students live in. How can I help them navigate what's actually there?
But what's ironic to me, you're 31.
I am.
I'm 53.
Mm-hmm.
What's ironic to me is that my father told me before I went to college the first time around in the 1970s, Jenna, nobody is going to hold your hand in college. Honey, they don't give a damn whether you get it or not. I can hear Harry in my head saying it right this very minute. How did we come through four decades worth of students who still don't get that lesson that my father taught me in the 1970s.
I think I need 10 years of sociology. I think it's a very complicated answer. It has a lot to do with the way our society has changed. But I think the biggest piece that I understand more than anything else on that question is what the expectation is coming out of high school. And the expectation that's put out there now is, to be successful, you must have a college degree. And in a lot of professions, that I'm not going to say that's not the truth, but the expectation is even if you don't know what you want to do, you should go to college. And we have programs that help support this. And believe me, I'm all about support for higher education. I really, really am. But I am not a professor that thinks that every student should go to college. that everybody coming out of high school, that because I think what this builds to is students see college as 13th grade.
Right.
That it's what you do after high school. And
not even close.
And the go back to your father's statement, which I find really interesting, is what he was doing for you was setting up expectations of what college is.
He was trying to help me.
Right. He was helping you, I think, by setting up the expectation of what college is. And what I see now is a complete misfire on having those expectations laid out to students. And whether it comes from parents or teachers or counselors or, in my case, professors, I think the expectations that students have coming out of high school and into college is what the root of the real problem is, either not having any real expectations or getting them from bad sources. And that's where the interesting stuff starts coming up.
So there are actually people who will tell students who don't know what they want to do, look, go to college for a year, and even if you just flounder around your freshman year, you'll figure it out.
I would say it's very common, yes.
Oh.
Yes. And here's the thing is, so you take that same student that just got that advice. I mean, well, I'll pick on myself. I went to college not knowing anything in the world I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm supposed to figure it out. And in a lot of respects, it is a great place to be able to do that. But the expectations of what it's going to be like when I get there and how to navigate it once I get there, it's what I did in the last seminar that happened in January. Describe what a college professor looks like. And what typically happens in an entire audience of all different ages is they describe what a professor looks like in a movie. And that's where their expectations can be built from. And most of those movies, if not all of those movies, with very few exceptions, are comedy movies. Animal House.
And the depictions are highly stereotypical.
Oh.
One-dimensional.
Oh, and they're spot on across multiple generations.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I'm sure whoever is listening now can actually, I'll do it now, describe what the typical college professor looks like in America. They're white, they're old, with a tweed jacket, with patches on their sleeves, bow tie, and crazy hair.
Yes, Albert Einstein hair.
Yes, and if you look at almost every college movie ever made, that is the college professor that's in those movies. And it's not something where it's like, I want to learn what college is like, so I watch comedy movies, but it is ingrained. And for students that have not had any real expectations shown to them, you're going to fill those expectations with any information that's available. And if that's media in their comedy movies, that scares me. You know, I had a student no more than about a couple weeks ago told me he was very disappointed when he was a freshman. Say, I've been very disappointed in what college was going to be. I thought it was going to be very different. So my question was, what did you think it was going to be? His answer was, I expected there to be high-level philosophical conversations in every hallway, in every department.
Between students and
Between
professors?
Between everybody. Every professor was going to be an expert that pushed students as hard as they could, and they were the driving force behind the learning that happened at college.
Now, if you want to have those kinds of discussions, we do have a fine university honors college here where you mm-hmm. can take classes that are geared toward exactly that kind of discussion.
I'm a member of the honors college here, yeah.
But to say that they are commonplace on a social level in college as well as in the classroom is just not realistic.
Right, and that's exactly it. Right, exactly right. The expectation is unrealistic. And I think what all of my focus I'm trying to do with all of this project is to make sure students that are both in college starting out and coming into college, and this is not an MTSU, this is not an MTSU idea. This is colleges across the country. They must have realistic expectations about college if they plan to be successful and have an easy transition into that. Because the statistics don't lie. Less than half of students that begin college do not graduate within 6 years. Only 20% graduate after 4 years. But the expectation is college is usually 4 years long.
Mm-hmm.
In MTSU last year, the average number of times a student changed majors, from the last information that I saw, was 6 times on average. The expectations of how to navigate this place called university or college has got to be set up from the beginning and be a constant message, in my opinion.
The book is called How to Win at the Game of College, Practical Advice from a College Professor. You can get it on Amazon.com. And if you want to know more about Dr. Ryan Otter's approach to helping college students get real in the realest possible sense of the term, go to www.thecollegegameproject.org. Correct?
That is great.
Dr. Ryan Otter, thanks for being with us.
Jenna, thank you. Can't thank you enough.
This is MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue. Join us again at the same time next Sunday. Don't forget, you can check out the podcast at your leisure at mtsunews.com, and we're available on iTunes.